Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I have an amazing, epic, star-studded lineup here. I got an epic roundtable here. I got the Ghost. Everyone loves the Ghost. I got Juan O'Savin. Everybody loves Juan O'Savin. My two most highly recommended and requested guests. And I got Loy Brunson. Loy Brunson, you are one of, is it three brothers that are putting forth this lawsuit or four brothers? Yeah.
Three brothers, myself and two brothers.
And I apologize to my audience. I have dropped the ball. I've had a very close friend die, and so I've been kind of scrambling. Loy, can you catch us up to speed on what exactly is going on here? And I'm one of those people.
Okay. Well, I guess your listeners or viewers know about the lawsuit or the petition that's in front of the Supreme Court right now, right? So where would you like me to start? I'll try to make it as concise as I possibly can, so I don't want to get anyone lost in legal jargon. But
I see that the Supreme Court is not returning. They're out indefinitely is what I've heard. So I'm kind of confused on everything.
Okay. There's a lot of confusion out there on the internet. What has happened is at the get-go of this, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, before you go to the Supreme Court, you've got to go through all the lower courts. Okay, well, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals was sitting on this after the battle through state court and the lower federal court. That was the final step before the United States Supreme Court. And so they sit on it for like 3 or 4 months, and we get together and go, well, now that's the same thing that's happening in an identical case. I launched mine first. Roland, my brother, we all decided that it'd be a good idea to launch two federal cases against the defendants so that one of them would go to the Supreme Court and get there before the other. And this was the plan at the get-go. It wasn't about the lower courts. We just wanted them to go ahead and do their dismissal stuff, get it dismissed so we could go up the ladder, up the chain, so we could go right straight to the Supreme Court after it was completely adjudicated in the lower courts. So here we are with my brother Rollins. I'm stuck in federal court, and there's a big story about that because we actually took the federal court and the 10th Circuit Court to state court and sued him. And that after that, they released mine and issued 388 summonses, which started being served to all the defendants and were eventually were. So that's the different case. But the case that's in front of the Supreme Court right now with Roland J. Brunson on it as plaintiff, that's where we're at right there. And so here we are with the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals sitting on that case that's now at the Supreme Court. They won't do a thing, and it's been 4 months, and we just think we're dead in the water because without getting the lower court's decisions, you can't move it to the Supreme Court. So my brother and I put some pressure on my legal-minded brother, who's behind the legal procedures and everything, said, you've got to find some rule, some civil procedure that we could bypass the 10th Circuit Court decision because they're not doing anything. So he did some research and he called me and he was excited. He says, you know, the Supreme Court has Rule 11 that allows you to bypass the final 10th Circuit Court or a circuit court without their decision, but it has to be deemed a national emergency. So he says, what we have to do is when we file this petition, it's got to actually say on the cover, petition for the United States Supreme Court, petition for writ of certiorari under this court's Rule 11. So we put it all together, and the Supreme Court requires especially bound, and you know, you have to go through some pretty good formatting to get it to them correctly. So we had it perfect bound and we sent it off to them, and just with our fingers crossed and prayers that they would accept this as a national emergency and let us bypass the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals decision since they were sitting on it. So 5 days later, my brother, the plaintiff, received a phone call from the clerk's office. Now, the clerk of the Supreme Court is not just a justice clerk. The clerk of the Supreme Court is, I believe his name is Scott Sessions Harris. And for 11 years, he was the attorney for the Supreme Court. And so a case analyst from his office calls my brother and told him that they had decided to accept this case based on the Rule 11 petition platform, which means they were accepting it without us going to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals because they obviously characterized this as a national emergency. And so they also requested that he put additional pleadings in it that they had been seen in the docket from the lower federal court. And so they said, put that in there and then get it to us as soon as you can. And so we put that all together. And 2 days before we were ready to get it off to them, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, we were notified, had made a decision. And so it's like, well, now we don't need the Rule 11. So we thought, well, should we just leave that information in there or take it out? So he called the Supreme Court, the number that they gave him, and talked to the case analyst. And she says, now that they've done that, you don't need the Rule 11 part of it. Just take that out, take it off the cover, and put the stuff in we asked, and then get it to us as soon as you can. They said, how soon could you get it to us? And we said, well, my brother said, well, about 2 weeks. And they said, well, can you try to get it to us sooner than that? So a week later, they had received it. So what happened is we got it to them. We mailed it on the 20th of October. They received it the 21st, and they docketed it on the 24th, and they showed that it was filed on the 20th, the day we sent it. That's standard procedure. And then they notified the U.S. attorneys who were defending the 388 defendants that they had until the 23rd of November to respond with an opposition. That was their deadline. They get one chance. They can file an opposition to this petition. That's it. As soon as they file that, it goes to conference where the nine justices hear this in a private room, and they take a vote on it, whether it moves forward to a full-blown hearing with the litigants, both parties represented, go ahead and argue before the justices or not. So we send it off to them, and they accept it. And then they notify the attorneys that they've got till the 23rd. So the 23rd rolls around. That was the day before Thanksgiving. That was Wednesday. So Wednesday, we're thinking their deadline is up. Why hasn't anything happened? What's going on? The U.S. attorney is dropping the ball. What's going on? They're going to miss their opportunity to oppose this, and that'd be fine with us to miss the deadline. So all of a sudden, like early afternoon, we see on the docket that the U.S. attorneys are no longer representing the 380 defendants. They have been relieved of their duties, and now the United States Solicitor General is representing, as their legal counsel, the 388 defendants on the complaint.
So it's like everything's aligning. Everything's aligning, yeah, just perfectly.
Yes, exactly. We were blown away. See, she could have asked for an extension. That would have put it off. But she didn't ask for an extension, and she didn't file an opposition to it. So she waived the rights of all 388 defendants to oppose this petition. So now the justices go into conference by themselves, no one else in there, and they review the information and the petition, and they show that the Solicitor General has waived their right to oppose it, to file an opposition, and then they talk about it, and they basically take a vote. Nine of the justices take a vote. If four of the justices vote in favor of it moving forward to a full-blown hearing, it moves to a hearing. If not, then
so I was just going to ask you, what other roadblocks do you foresee coming up? What kind of interference can they play here?
Well, all the interference is done. The interference could have been the filing of the opposition, which they waived the right to do. That's we're blown away with that. We can't believe that happened. So there's nothing that can stop it. So now it's going to conference. I suspect it could be in conferences as soon as next week. I think they do conference twice a week. And so we could see on the docket Monday that it's scheduled for conference on one of the days of that week, or they could extend it out, or they could make it based on national security issues. They could decide that it's going to be a sealed case and not let anyone hear or know about what they're doing. So they have the full power to completely not just reverse a decision or uphold a decision. They have the complete power to adjudicate the whole complaint, which they have access to. They can execute it and judge it and make decisions based, you know, they can actually award everything that we're asking in the complaint, which is the removal of a sitting president, a vice president, and 385 members of the U.S. House and Senate.
So this could happen. This is like a miracle for the United States. This is a miracle for humanity if this happens. The Brunson brothers save America.
Well, this is the most power the Supreme Court has ever been handed. And the timing is just absolutely perfect because they need to do something. And we gave them the tools to do it. It has to come from the people, we the people. You know, so we got it past the federal courts. We're thinking the 10th Circuit just thought, well, we'll just sit on, they'll never, because they knew, they had to know that we were going to keep pushing this all the way to the Supreme Court. And they thought that just sitting on it, they would prevent us from doing that. I don't think they were aware of the Rule 11 Supreme Court that allows national emergency petition to bypass their decision. So they hurried and backpedaled and made a decision. That's pretty funny.
So this is like a miracle, what's happening right now.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of miracles leading up to it. We've been working on this almost like full time for over 2 years. We don't have families or jobs or anything that interfered with us. We were just able to dedicate basically our lives to this the last couple of years. And that's a miracle in and of itself. No wife, no children. We were just able to just focus totally on this. And if you go to 7discoveries.com, you can click on the history and I think the updates, it says updates, and you'll see all three lawsuits and the goings back and forth. If you go to the dockets, you'll see the mistakes that the federal courts were making and like apologizing for it. When Nancy Pelosi was first served my lawsuit the first time, okay, she'd been served twice. When she was first served and 83 others were served, Adam Schiff, Maxine Waters, they were served by the U.S. Marshals Service. Because at that time, there was a lockdown and we couldn't hire process servers. We couldn't have a deputy go in. No one could go in except the U.S. Marshals. So the federal court ordered the U.S. Marshals to serve the summons and complaint to the 385 defendants. And after about 80 or so defendants were served, including Nancy Pelosi and others, the federal court judge, someone or something got to him and he canceled it out and sent notice that it was a mistake of the court and that they weren't supposed to do that, and that my complaint was deficient. So we battled that out in state court and finally got them to issue summonses again. But that case is stalled right now. But the case that my brother has gone all the way through all of that. We feel like we've taken the ball over the goal line. So the United States Supreme Court literally has the power now without any interference to completely adjudicate this case.
That's unbelievable. Juan, you want to jump in there and take this a little further? Juanito, you're on mute. Oh,
there we go. I muted. I just was enjoying what Loy was sharing. And by the way, Americans doing what Americans do out of nowhere. You guys come out and do this amazing work, dedicate your lives to it, as so many of us have from so many different directions, and you don't know where the spaghetti is going to stick on the wall. You just keep throwing it on there till it sticks. And here you brothers dive in and do this. And hey, hats off to you.
Thank you.
You know, really very few people can appreciate how total the dedication has to be to accomplish some of these things. And so I have total gratitude. Let me ask you this. In the court accepting this at this exact moment in time, I've said that part of this is the court's under potential attack. The Congress has been talking and spreading the word that they were going to try and take some action in this lame duck here in December to choke back the powers of the court with the term limits for the members of the court, et cetera. And then on the executive side, the president's side, they're talking about packing the court. So this actually put a loaded gun in the hand of the court and allows them to point back with a loaded weapon, fully cocked, ready to go at a Congress and an executive branch that are really acting over the top if they're going to go in and attack the justices and their term limits and things like that, because it changes the balance of power at the federal level. And also the reason why Congress and the Biden administration want to attack this court is because of Roe versus Wade. So this gives them protection potentially over, you know, an attack because of what they did with Roe versus Wade. You know, one of the things in talking with one of my constitutional law professor attorney friends yesterday and today, you know, is this going to be a Mexican standoff? Are they just going to have a mutually assured destruction scenario perspective where they just, you know, all sides stand there with the guns cocked and loaded and ready to shoot, but nothing happens? Or will the court act proactively, defensively in doing this? you guys got any thoughts? Do you see it in those kind of terms, the way I'm saying it, that this is kind of a standoff?
I have a pretty vision of it actually being quite smooth. I think we could have a bloody revolution if they don't rule in favor of this, and a bloodless, smooth revolution if they do. And I envision myself seeing, before Congress is in session again, the U.S. Marshal Service taking the court order to the sergeant in arms of Congress and showing them a list and a court order that the following names of individuals need to have their credentials canceled. And it would be that simple on that score. I could see Secret Service detail teams being shown court orders and U.S. Marshals supervising the release of the duties of the assignments of Secret Service and just walking away from certain individuals that are part of the executive branch. I could see special teams going to after the Speaker of the House or whomever it might be that they put back in office. I could see an executive order and court order ordering the communication directors to shut down the mainstream media. Maybe it'd be a few seconds, maybe it'd be a few minutes. It would go dark, and then the special teams that have come in to replace them would make sure that propaganda, the psyops arm of this cabal, these anti-Americans, that it all of a sudden we have a mainstream media news reporting the truth with new teams, new faces. And so I think it could be organized in quite a smooth transition, and then people and Americans, a lot of Americans would think that was because of the election. I mean, a lot of people are so busy, you know, just surviving, that they are not aware of the everything that takes place in midterms and elections. So I think it could be a fairly smooth transition on that score, on that level. But to speculate as to how everything could work out, well, that's a lot of.
Let me jump over to the ghost real quick. Ghost, do you want to jump in real quick?
Let me just add one thing real quick before we go there. You know, I just was mentioning it over with Michael Jacob, because we were talking about this over there at his show a few minutes ago.
Alrighty, we are back. And we just ghosted them. There you go. So, Wendy and Joe, what do you think about all that?
I think it's very interesting, and it's worth praying about.
Well, yeah, we definitely got to keep it in prayer. That would give the court the power, but now the problem is which president was it? Was it that I'm thinking that had passed some legislation on, I think it was banking, and the president says, how are they going to enforce it? That's when the Supreme Court passed that. You know, how are they going to enforce it? I have the military. So what do you think would happen, Joe?
I can see a big mess coming.
Yeah.
I can see, like, right now the left is ignoring the Constitution, ignoring the law, ignoring the all the laws in place about the border, everything else. Here's an example of a story. CDC knew the COVID vax caused heart problems, but kept mum. It's a World News Daily story. They turned over information by court order. Court forced them to show. It showed the healthcare workers were the first to get, one of the first group to get the mRNA COVID vax. And among the data withheld showed 1 in 3 of the CDC people reported needing medical care, missing school or work, or, quote, inability to perform normal daily activities. And that was right from the start, from the first vax, and it got worse. And they hid that. The CD collected data through the V-Safe. Remember, we've talked about this, but they failed to include chest pain, other cardiac symptoms that would indicate myocarditis, pericarditis, V-safe of the check boxes that the doctors and everybody were supposed to fill out. They had no place to put it, so that meant a very busy doctor in the middle of a pandemic would have to do an addendum to our already long, complicated government form to add something he thought was relevant. Most of them didn't have the time to even fill out the forms, let alone add on. And then it went on, months after the vaccine rolled out, there was a warning that the vaccine fact sheet about the increase of the myocarditis and heart. And so the survey, they just put a little other form on the other field on the form and still ignored it. So it goes on and on. It gets a little complicated from there, but basically they hid and hid and hid information from people that they knew right from the beginning. And now the government is in a court case, and lawyers are defending. There's some doctors that sued about being able to use ivermectin, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I want you to hear this. This is what the new federal attorney is trying to defend the FDA, right? He's talking about the ivermectin. The cited statements were not directives. They were not mandatory. They were only recommendations. They just said what parties should do, why you should not take. Isaac Belfar, the lawyer defending the FDA, they did not say you may not do it, you must not do it. They did not say it's prohibited. They did not say it's unlawful. They also did not say doctors may not prescribe ivermectin. Remember, doctors were suing the government to use it. People were begging. They had lawsuits against the government. They were kicking doctors out of hospitals, taking away medical licenses. So here's another huge thing that's going on, just this hiding the truth from people. So here we have an attorney trying to defend the FDA is really kind of just opened Pandora's box and told the truth, because we now know, we know for sure that they were telling people you could not get it. They would not let pharmacies, CDC-ordered pharmacies could not give it, even if a doctor prescribed it, remember?
Oh, yeah. And now what they're doing is a lot of these hospitals right now, they're going woke. In other words, if you go in there, if you have not been, if you have not taken the vax, and you're not, you know, woke, in other words, they're putting you on a list. You don't get medical care right away. You get put way off as far as if you need some kind of a treatment, an MRI or something, you get scheduled way down the line, and they give you the runaround. It's being done. You're put on a list like before. Remember they said we're going to do that to white people,
mm-hmm.
and now they're doing it to people that are not the woke. And I'm looking for it.
Oh, we did. It was the Massachusetts General Hospital. They're in Massachusetts. Unwelcome words are not allowed unless you're totally politically correct, and don't, if you fail to use the correct pronouns to anybody in the hospital, you can be told to not come back to the hospital. Yeah.
Well, that's just one of them, Joe. They're,
that was just one, but I remember that one specifically off the top of my head.
Okay, here's an article by Kellen McBreen. A federal government whistleblower working for the Council of the Inspector Generals on Integrity Efficiency has worked with Project Veritas on a 9-month investigation into the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and its involvement in human trafficking. Everything, remember, Obama did this. Remember, we were telling you he's replacing people. He's putting his Antichrist communist agents. He kind of, that's what he did when he was in that White House. His main focus was to replace people in key positions with the communists. The whistleblower Tara Lee Rhodes spoke with Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe in the following video, explains what the shocking investigation, we, you know, obviously we can't show you a video over the radio, but revealed. Rhodes volunteered last year to help Health and Human Services with the placement on unoccupied or unaccompanied, rather, minors entering the U.S. and was sent to work as an intake site in California. What the brave whistleblower witnessed next was a disturbing network of vulnerable children being flown directly to human traffickers. This is what we've been telling you, didn't? How long have we been telling you that the Biden crime cartel is working hand in hand? Now, this is what all of a sudden Congress has discovered this, right? Jim Jordan and those people say they have evidence. Well, we knew this, when as soon as he was in office, we were telling people this, right? And was able to talk with multiple children, one of them telling a reporter she was being pimped for her sex. The 16-year-old girl made it clear that she didn't like being forced to have sex with many men. The woman who trafficked the girl claimed to be her aunt, who knew her as a child, but the girl said she didn't know her. The sponsors of the illegal immigrant can also use deportation as a threat to make them obey their commands, according to the federal government whistleblower. So there you go. The so-called government, and we talked about this some last night there too, they have weaponized all of them against us. They've weaponized all of these organizations against us now.
They've used almost every government agency, from education. They've added all these 87,000 IRS agents with guns. I mean, people, you've got to wake up. This is a communist revolution. It's happening right before your very eyes. This is a literal fight to the death for the Constitutional Republic of the United States. And this is most serious. Even if some of this stuff goes to the court, there's rulings. We have a government that's ignoring court dictates, court mandates. It's ignoring the Constitution, ignoring laws. I don't believe that any other statements from the Supreme Court are going to be doing any good. We've got all these rules and regulations about the border. They're not following any of them. The Supreme Court has held anybody in contempt. There's anything they can do. They can make a ruling, but they cannot enforce the ruling. Only those in power can enforce the law. And right now, we've got a government that's unlawful, illegal, and is in the middle of a revolution, and they are not going to let a little thing like, any more laws or new rulings stop their revolution. The only thing that's going to stop the revolution is when the people say, no, we're not going to allow it to happen.
All right. Craig, are you there listening? Did you get the... it's a short clip with Laura Logan on the election fraud there.
A minute-long clip?
Yeah, minute 20. I think it's minute 20. Joe, this is really something. This is from, it shows you, people are going to fight back. That whole thing in Arizona was in your face, so corrupt, so obvious. Okay, that Gates, the guy that was heading this up, and even the county sheriff, they're all caught. And people are not going to, Carrie Lake, she's a feisty little lady. She's not going to go away. And we're not going to go.
Without a big fight.
We're not going to go away with this unless we're going to play this clip over the entire country. We'll hear this clip now, from coast to coast. So go ahead and play that clip. It'll be ready in a minute. It's buffering up. And so.
Well, I can do a quick story while it's buffering. Walt Disney had a, from the Gateway Public, Gateway Pundit, they were supposed to have a card up that said, "We love you, Santa," but the children were holding letters that say, spelled out, "We love you."
Them for who they treat.
Go ahead.
This is a moment now for people to see them for who they truly are. We now are in no illusions about the Bill Gates of Maricopa County, right? He's shown his true colors. And so have the rest of them at the Board of Elections in Maricopa. Over the objections of their constituents, over the objections of the GOP locally, over the objections of people all across this country, they have certified an election that the truth is they have absolutely no way to vouch for those results. It is a complete lie. And they have been put to shame by Cochise County, right, in Arizona, and put to shame by another county in Pennsylvania. counties that had the courage to stand up and say, we're not going to certify an election that we can't stand by. And the real truth here is that there isn't an election official in America who can certify an election that is run by machines, because they don't speak code. They don't go into those machines. They don't test them. They don't have the vaguest idea what they're talking about. When they tell you they certify that election, they're lying, 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 lying through their teeth. And the reality is that when they say they do risk limiting audits and all these other controls, you know what you find when you peel back the curtain? Oh, wait, a risk limiting audit is you looked at maybe 100 ballots out of how many thousands? And you use that, you know, test sample to say that all of them are valid. Until we have an election system that can be verified and transparent by anyone in this country, it should be like jury duty. You should have kids in high schools that are there. You should have cameras. You should have every step of the process be transparent, because you know what I discovered when I worked on this for 7 months straight? Is that every step of the process is involved with fraud. That's the truth of our elections. There's no part of our elections that isn't subject to fraud. And it's time to stop lying to ourselves and lying to each other.
I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again. Gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you. Where his voice Alrighty. Blessed by you. And I tell you how I'm going to get blessed this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday, the Chester Christian Center is putting on the annual Geauga County Right to Life Christmas Concert. It's the annual Geauga County Christmas Concert, and it's one of the major fundraisers for you folks in Northeast Ohio. This is what, you know, it takes money to save babies, and that's what we do. We save babies out here. And we're big supporters of the Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee, too. In fact, we're a part of it. So we're going to be in concert, and we need all the help we can get to save babies, because James 4:17 says, for those to know to do good and do it not, to them it's sin. That's right. Right, Joe?
Right.
Okay, exactly. So we need all the people we can come out and help us. Because we work very, very hard. We work very hard trying to save babies. And here's the better part about this thing. These people put on a tremendous concert. They really do. I mean, it just makes you feel good. It's one of those things you go in there for a couple hours and you come out really feeling good. And it's going to be held at the Chester Christian Center at 11815. That's 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306 in Chesterland. For folks from the area out there, it's actually right on Route 306. It's about 2 miles north of Route 322, or about 2 miles south of Route 6. And so it's about right in the middle there. And guess what? You're going to have none other than A.J. Feodor himself on the harmonica with his golden harmonica. And he's called the harmonica extraordinaire. And I've known AJ for many, many years. We're going to have that famous guitarist, Jeff Heise. And then you've got the Chester Christian Center Music Ministry. And Steve Sawcheck, my good pastor Steve Sawcheck, heads that up, and they are tremendous. And then you've got the Christmas carolers. And we also, the audience too, partakes with the Christmas caroling. So it's a really, really wonderful time. And the best part about it all, the best part is all of the money goes right to helping us save babies, which we do all the time, and we fight like everything to try to do that, because God's Word, the Bible, demands that we rescue those being led to slaughter and drawn to death. That's not a suggestion. It's not. It says you be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. So that's what we do, and that's what we suggest all of you do, because God means exactly what he says and says exactly what he means. And so with that, I'm going to tell you one more time about how you can get some of the apothecary herbs, top of the line, real natural herbal medicines that come from God. That's right. All the herbal medicines come from God. He gave us the herbs. He told me. He told us he did for the healing of the nation. So, folks, now ask yourself this. Would a smart person, given a choice, go to the medicine that God gave us or the medicine that Pfizer gives you? Think about that. Look what's happening to those that have been taking Pfizer's medicine. They're dropping dead all over the country. All right. That number is 866-229-3663. Again, 866-229-3663. All right. Do you want to add to that, Wendy?
Well, you did a wonderful job there, Pastor. And thank you very much. They have thepowerherbs.com if they want to visit our web store.
All right. Very good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, you know, they need catalogs. You know, I don't have any of your new catalogs,
We still have our current catalog in stock. We're in the middle of designing a new one. We hope to release the first part of the year, new year. So,
I mean, the only one I have is my own personal one, and I'm not going to give it up.
No, you keep that. Yeah.
Yeah.
If they go on our website.
The old prices.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Well, if they go on our website, thepowerherbs.com, and they want to put the catalog in their cart, it's free, and they check out. They'll also get a download link in their email so they can download the catalog right away to their device or computer.
Let me ask you a question. I'm given a choice for your new catalog. either putting my picture in there or Pastor Joe's. Which one would you put in there?
I don't know, Pastor. The catalog is about featuring herb products. I don't know if we want to put faces in there.
Maybe you could put some before, after taking your natural herbs, or, you know.
Yeah, the before and after. I wanted to ask you when you, that Blessed By You song, when did you record that?
Oh, that's probably been 20 years ago or more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, we did the one that I did the heartbeat on, the heartbeat. I wrote that song when we were pushing the heartbeat bill here in Ohio, and I actually got the recording in that heartbeat. When you hear that, listen to the heartbeat. That's actually the heartbeat of a baby that one of the ladies that was speaking right there was pregnant, and they played right there live the heart. They held one of those, you know, little things up to her.
Cool.
Yeah, and they got the heartbeat of that baby. Well, that's the heartbeat we used in that song, the heartbeat. And that was recorded when we did that. And we were the first ones to promote the heartbeat. We put it together, and it was picked up and passed in a number of other states. But we're going to battle this battle, and it's not over with until we win. And so, you know, it's a matter. Again, God has raised us up for such a time as this right now. Do you know, if people only really understood, if they could really, really understand the significance of that, that God has raised them up, they're alive right now during this time here, to run to this battle, and how important it is that they would place up those crowns right now, if they really understood that. Do you think the country would be in the shape that it's in now?
No.
Do you think, Joe, that you would have pastors calling out people like Joe Biden, that they would be calling them out, that they would be saying, like John the Baptist did to Herod, that you would have pastors out there besides us? I mean, there's, you know, I want to praise the good Lord for that. Probably maybe 5% of the pastors in this country that are calling them out. And now I know you have, it's growing. The Liberty Group pastors is growing. The Black Robe Regiment's growing in numbers, and that's good. But we're still a real minority of those in the pulpits.
A minority, yeah.
Maybe 5%.
I think you're exaggerating on the 5, but we'll,
yeah. But we're out there. What if that happened? What if people really truly believe that? What if you had people, these other fellows, out there? All of these pastors that have national programs like this one here. What if they were all calling out Joe Biden, calling out these Democrats, telling them, you need to repent or perish. I mean, just like John the Baptist called out Herod, like Peter called out Ananias and Sapphira, you know, like Jesus called out the entire Sanhedrin.
And, well, George Barna said there's about, 300, almost 338,000 pastors in America. And just think about that. That's a lot of pastors. And if they all just spoke to 5 people, we'd have most of this country covered.
Yeah. But if they would, again, you know, call out the media, because, see, a lot of these people, believe it or not, you know, they're in self-deception. They're going to these churches, and, you know, they're going to a place where they're going to be made comfortable. We had 8 new people in church Sunday, this past Sunday, 8 new people in church right after the election. Do you know why we had 8 new people? Because they were going to churches where the pastors were telling them that politics is dirty. You shouldn't really get involved with politics. And that was it. That was the last straw. They left, and they found their way to our church.
Just let the devil run the government. Let the devil run the schools. Let the devil... Yeah, right. I've got to give a warning if I can. you know, all these protests have been going on in China. They're growing. And it is one of the most unique situations we've seen in a long time. But there's a problem. People have been searching for details on the protests. And unfortunately, many of the people out there, you've been getting porn ads popping up. And the New York Post has documented that Chinese bots are overwhelming Twitter and the other AI groups with sexually explicit posts about porn and escorts. And the whole idea is it's an apparently to stop the spread of the news about all these protests against the lockdowns and against the Chinese Communist Party. And Air Moving Device, they gave out a report that searching for major Chinese cities that have had protests will result in ads for escorts or porn or even now gambling. And this is all by bots and that are being put in. So we're supposed to have all these great innovators in Silicon Valley and all their great systems. They either don't want to or not as smart. They're not able to stop this. They're not able to put a halt to it. And to me, that's a warning that if the Chinese have that many bots, they can control what Americans hear or see when they do searches on the Internet. We are in a lot more trouble than we thought we were.
Right now, Joe, I'm looking at China, the world's largest quarantine camp in Guangzhou. Yeah. With 90,000 isolation pads, 90,000. This is the World Economic Forum's role model for global community. All right, how much time do I have there, Craig?
About 7 minutes.
Okay, I've got a chance to take 2 1-minute calls. Okay, who do we have there? Jeff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeff. You got about a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. Mike Pence said on NBC and in his book that, and he pretty much swore up and down by God that there was nothing legally he could do to interfere in the election and investigate the fraud. Can you prove that he could have done something legally?
Yeah, he could have. It was up to him. If he thought that there was something wrong, there was reasons, and standing right in front of him was all of the proof from the different states of election fraud, then it was his job to say, look, we need to take 10 days and look at this before we certify this. And in fact,
isn't that in the Constitution?
No, that is the job, though, of the person who's the vice president, the one who does that. So anyhow, He knows that. And we're going to be looking. This case is coming. So when this case comes to court, he is the first one named in this lawsuit because of that. Those lawyers, that's what they're bringing it. Because, in fact, if you'd listen to the rest of that clip that I had, they get into that. They talk about that. But I got to move on. So who do we have there next? Cliff, you got 1 minute. Cliff, 1 minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, is Wendy still there?
Yeah, she's still here.
I'm here.
Yeah, okay. I'll ask you about long-chain fatty acids versus median chain. And the other question would be about there's supposedly a herb called self-healing herb and another one called Solomon's herb or Solomon's, some first part of it's Solomon.
Well, herbs can have several common names, so I'm not really familiar with those two. They may be named by something else that I would know. Something to research online later. But, yeah, so it's not unusual for an herb to have, like, half a dozen common names.
Right. Now, how about the fatty acids? What do we need to know about fatty acids?
Well, the fatty acids are, like you said, change molecule chains, enzymes, and so we always hear about, omega-3 fatty acids, which help with antioxidants in the system as well, and it keeps down the free radicals. So you don't want omega-6, six is those acids aren't going to be helpful. So we want to omega threes.
All right, very good. I got to jump in here because we're out of time. So thanks for calling, Cliff, and thanks, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
It's that time that we come to every night at this radio program. The most important part of all of everything we've talked about someday is going to be forgotten, okay, except for the scripture. The scripture that we read tonight, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass, but God's word will stand forever. And God always, always does what he says. In fact, here now, 6,000 years of God's word, we still have, right? I mean, we read it all the time. And that God's word will stand forever. And one of the things he tells you, makes it very, very clear, which we try to get across all the time, and that is, and God has told you that we're sinners. We're all sinners, and sinners need a Savior. And, folks, you're free to believe whatever you want. God allows that. But he tells you here, this is the way it is. This is reality. The reality is every one of you out there listening are going to die. And it's appointed to one to men, all men once to die, and then the judgment, because you all have natural sin. And, boy, you can't take that sin with you into heaven. You got to leave it here. Now, here's what he's telling you, that Christ took your place, a substitutionary death. He did for you what you could never do for yourself. We could never, ever do anything to buy our salvation. And so God demanded a sinless sacrifice, a perfect and sinless sacrifice, and the only one that would fill the bill, the only one that could do that, was the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, God became flesh and lived as a man, and as a human body that we have here, he lived a totally sin-free life. Now, none of us could have done that. And because of that, here's what we need to do. We need to pray to the Father, ask him for forgiveness of your sins, and once you've done that, and you mean it, then you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. You ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. You're putting him before everything. He has to be first. You know, he's got to be before everything. And if you do that, then God always honors the commitment. You will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you will be on your road to eternity. And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you have God's word on that, so do it tonight. Don't run out of tomorrow's. We're out of time tonight, so as we do this every night at this time, we say good night. God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager. As you know, the culmination of my life's work has been writing my Rational Bible Commentary series. I have done Genesis, Exodus, and the just-released Deuteronomy. They are all called the Rational Bible because my approach is entirely reason-based. My motto is, if it doesn't make sense, I don't accept it. If you look up the 5,000 reviews on my Rational Bible volumes, you will see how many lives I have changed. Whether you are a Jew, a Christian, an atheist, or a member of some other religion, it doesn't matter. This speaks to your mind and your heart in explaining the most important books ever written, the Rational Bible. The latest is Deuteronomy, the most quoted book of the nation's founders. So if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift, even for someone with no faith, in fact especially, I recommend giving them my Rational Bibles. Go to PragerStore.com. You can buy them individually or as a complete set. All Rational Bibles sold in the Prager Store are autographed by me. Go to PragerStore.com. That's PragerStore.com, or click the banner on my website.